Okay, so this is the culmination of this season of anticipation, and I want to use as a text not the readings here, but the final passage from Isaiah. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child to lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. So I've been suggesting to Advent that what I need, I think what we all need, certainly what the world seems to need, is a conversion of our imaginations. A radical revision of the way we see the world, which stands often enough in stark contrast to our experience of the world. I think most of us do, as Thoreau said, live lives of quiet desperation. And the source of that desperation, I think, is the fear that we have of being open with each other. There's none of us in this room who've not been disappointed in relationships where we've tried to be open with each other, or where we have disappointed others as well. We've all done this. And of course, the result of all that activity, even though it's so pervasive and so characteristic of our lives together, is a kind of numbness to the fact that we really do live in this self-enclosed world. And that's the way we imagine the world, basically as inimical to us. Oh, we can create these little enclaves of safety. But often enough, they're not very durable either. And we continue to disappoint and to be disappointed. And we continue to erect these barriers which exclude others. And here comes Isaiah, not with some new zoological insight, but with the view of the world in which all the antagonisms, all the barriers, all the fearsomeness has disappeared, where every antagonism vanishes, evaporates, and is replaced by what? This radical reconciliation between us human beings. I mean, Isaiah is not interested in lions and lambs and wolves and sheep. But it's logically, it constitutes a form of the argument a fortiori, which means if this kind of reconciliation is going to occur among the animals on this planet, then even more fully is going to occur within us, between us, between us. I think today it is very difficult to sustain the motor of this transformation of consciousness, which is, of course, hope. I'd like to say that in my own life and the lives of people, I know that hope does spring eternal. It doesn't. More often than not, it's quenched by yet further disappointments, further frustrations. And that's why I think this conversion of imagination is so massive and so difficult. And not just difficult, it's impossible. Only God can offer that new vision. Only God can minimize our meager capacities for hope. And the greatest difficulty is that the form of Christian hope that is truly Christian is not just hope for me, my family, my circle, this little safe enclave, but it's the hope for everybody. It's a hope for the world. Of all the species that are disappearing, for instance, on the planet. So take one simple example. I've forgotten the rate whereby things are going extinct on our planet by dint of our insensitivity, our indifference. But it's fairly terrifying, I think. And much more evident, of course, is the fact of our multiple antagonisms, our multiple sources of violence in the world. It does not just happen on a large scale. Syria, the Congo, Gaza. It happens in our families. It happens in ourselves, where we begin really to even detest ourselves and stop hoping that we can be converted. But this, and only this, is what Christmas is about. And we, at our peril, sentimentalize Christmas or reduce it to an exercise in nostalgia, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Beautiful song, great sentiments, but also illusory. So, it's extraordinarily important, it seems to me, because we exist, so far as I can see, in a world, and I'm not talking about a world where there are corpses lying all over, I'm talking about the world of Walmart, the world of the Exeter Road jail, the world of a mayor who seems to be totally obtuse to the moral sensitivities of all kinds of people. To the world, to the universe. This sense of a radically different future. That's what hope is about. And as I said, and I think this is, at least for me, the hardest thing. Because I can always hunker down and say, well, it's going to be better later on for me. But that's not what Isaiah is talking about. That's why he uses these almost cosmic images of reconciliation, you know, of radical connectedness, of radical openness. So, Advent, exploding into Christmas. That's the only source, really, authentic source of joy to the world. Maybe it's against all the evidence, there's hope that we lions and we lambs, we seem to be alternating positions. One day I'm a lion, the next day I'm a lamb. Will, in fact, be converted. We will imagine the world differently and consequently act in the world differently because it has been reimagined. Merry Christmas.